Parenting, as you well know, is a big responsibility. I think all parents want to make sure their children have the skills they need to be successful now and as adults. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We're going to learn about a very effective and interesting program to give parents the tools they need to help children develop critical thinking skills. Myrna Schur is an emeritus professor at Drexel University in Philadelphia. She developed the Raising a Thinking Child program for parents and young children. Her most recent book is Thinking Parent, Thinking Child. Myrna, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Larry. Thank you.
Oh, I'd love to have you. And Bridget Mouchon is with me in the studio, family living agent with the University of Wisconsin Cooperative Extension in Greene County. She's worked with parents and done research on parenting since 1998, I believe. And the family living program works to apply the university resources to family and community issues and in local communities throughout Wisconsin. And Bridget, thank you so much for taking time to be with us. You know, it would help if I turned your microphone on. There. Now we've got it. Thank you so much. And for our listeners, would you like to learn how to help the children in your life develop critical thinking skills? What techniques did you learn about parenting from how you were raised? Are you dealing with a particular situation that maybe Bridget and Myrna might have some advice on? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show. And Myrna, let's start. What is the Raising a Thinking Child program?
It's a program that gives children skills to guide their behavior, and it gives parents a way to talk to kids so they can utilize those skills in real life. And we do it with fun games. We have a series of lesson games for children, and we kind of divide it up initially between problems that come up with children and their parents and problems that come up with their siblings or their classmates or their friends. And it's a very sequenced set of lessons, and it's based on about 30 years of research. And it really does help children really think for themselves, and they can do that as early as three and four years old.
Yeah, and I guess that may be what makes it unique from other programs, this whole business about critical thinking or having the child do the thinking?
Yes, that part is unique, but it's also the way that we guide the behavior that's unique. It gives children a vocabulary, like we'll play fun games with words like same and different, for example, and mm-hmm. is and not. This is a table, it is not a chair. Johnny has a green blouse on, shirt on. Does Peter have the same color or a different color shirt on? And we play and have children enjoy using these words. And then the parent, instead of telling a child what to do and why, asks questions like, is what you're doing a good idea or not a good idea? And if the child, says not a good idea, then we say, well, can you think of something different that is a good idea? Mm. And it's a very different way of empowering children rather than just explaining why they should or shouldn't do something.
Yeah.
And they love those questions. And they, they'll come up with, they'll say, I solved a problem today.
My wife and I have a 10-year-old, and from about 2 years old through kindergarten, she was at a Montessori school.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you're familiar with the Montessori approach, but as I was reading about your approach, it reminded me a bit of the Montessori approach.
Yeah, well, the Montessori also is an open-ended kinds of questions curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a little like it. And Bridget, how does it maybe you can talk a little bit about how it might differ from other positive discipline techniques.
It is a very much the children are given the opportunity and are kind of the expectation and to be able to solve their own problems. And they're able to do this. That's one of the things that's very interesting to parents, I think, once they start dialoguing and using those techniques that Myrna was talking about and the vocabulary and those tools with their kids. They're able to really, they're thinking. And I think parents don't give kids enough credit or don't really think that they can do that. Parents often act as referees, and they end up taking that role with their kids. But kids can really solve problems on their own very, very well with some guidance and some tools that parents are given with the program. So, and parents are just astounded. They'll come back in after 2 or 3 weeks and just, oh, my goodness, my kids really understand what's going on and how to solve problems.
My kid was smarter than I thought he was or she was.
That's right.
Well, and yeah, go ahead, Myrna.
You know, Larry, the most frequently suggested approach today is use the I message. You know, instead of saying, you're making me angry, they'll say to tell them, I feel angry. It's supposed to induce less guilt, and children respond to that. And every time I do a workshop and mention that, the parents kind of grimace and kind of laugh a little bit. Because it really, you know, if you say, who's doing the thinking here, the parent or the child? You know, when you say, I feel angry, you don't know if he even hears you because you're not asking him to respond. And when you say, how do you think I feel, turning that statement into a question, but not a you know, the tone of voice is a genuine information seeking. How do you think I feel when? You hit your brother or won't clean your room or whatever. You know, now the child is part of the conversation and he has to respond. And, you know, to say you shouldn't hit because you might hurt him, you know, again, who's doing the thinking? The child is just a passive recipient and not an active participant.
Yeah. Talking today with Myrna Schur, Emeritus Professor at Drexel University in Philadelphia, she developed the Raising a Thinking Child program, what we're talking about with her today. And also Bridget Mouchon, who is the family living agent with UW Extension and has applied, she and others here have applied these programs or this program in Wisconsin with some pretty interesting results. And talking with them, certainly looking forward to what you have to say, your own experiences, your own questions at 1-800-642-1234. Are you dealing with a particular situation with your child that maybe they could comment on? We'd certainly love to hear from you. And you say, Myrna, you know, 3-4 years old, they can do it at that age.
Well, when I started doing my research, I asked kids to see if some kids were capable of doing that. We didn't want to make 6-year-olds out of 4-year-olds. And I said, Johnny has a toy, and he won't let Jimmy play with it, and Jimmy wants to play with it. What can Jimmy do or say so he can get to play with the toy? And I couldn't believe how creative some 4-year-olds could be when asked and given the opportunity, you know, and not just be told what to do all the time. And, you know, they came up with the typical, you know, he could ask them, he could say please, he could ask to hold it. But some more creative responses were things like, you'll have more fun if you play with me, or put his name on it and he'll think it's his. You know. Yeah. And you know, it was like, you know, not every child could be that creative, and that's why we developed the intervention to teach kids who, you know, don't have those skills to catch up to their same age classmates who do have those skills.
Yeah. So this is a very positive discipline technique, is it not?
Well, there's an expression in the parenting field, positive discipline. But positive discipline is more explaining, you know, induction. helping the child understand why he should or shouldn't be doing what he's doing. But, you know, Larry, by the time most kids are 4 years old, they've heard these explanations and suggestions a thousand times. Maybe it's time to try something different.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't know. The child tunes out because he's heard it before, and then the parent gets exasperated because the child isn't listening, and then they go back to yelling and threatening and screaming. Because they're frustrated.
Yeah.
But boy, they love it. The children love being asked. The parents love hearing what the kids have to say. And it increases bonding. It really changes the whole relationship. In you know, not that every parent who doesn't do this doesn't have good relationships, obviously. But it really does enhance the interaction between the parent and the child.
Yeah. And Bridget, you've done this here in Wisconsin with some good results.
Very good results. Yes, we have. And what the parents say often when they complete the program, and also we've done a little bit so far of tracking parents after the program, 6 months after, there's reduced yelling. I think one thing that's really interesting is that parents do say that, yes, I was yelling before, and our homes are no more harmonious, less chaotic. I relate to my kids better. My kids, it's really neat to have parents come in about week five and start, their eyes are wide open and they're like, oh, wow, this is amazing. There's already a big change. So it's fun to see parents really gain something from the program.
And, you know, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Myrna.
No, I was just going to say, we had one parent who said, I used to think I listened to my child, but now I really hear her. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was pretty touching. But my favorite quote is, we call yelling and, you know, negative punishment power, the power approach. And one parent said, I used to use power, but I felt powerless. And I thought that was pretty intense.
And I think there's somewhere along the line I read as part of this that an important aspect of the program is that parents acknowledge and understand that children have feelings, which, you know, that sometimes can get lost in the shuffle, can't it?
And that's another thing a father told me. When we talk about developing a vocabulary for feelings, the father said, I used to tell my son how I felt about things, but I never thought to ask him how he feels. And, you know, if we want to build empathy, that's what really important, to talk about not only other people's feelings, but the child's own feelings. Because if a child doesn't care about his own feelings, he can't care about anybody else's. And, you know, we don't want a child not hitting his brother out of fear of being sent to time out or other forms of punishment. We want him to be bothered by the fact that he might hurt him. And that comes from the inside. Fear of punishment comes from the outside. And, you know, he'll take it with him for life if it really bothers him than if he's just afraid of getting caught.
Talking today about how to raise a thinking child. Larry Mueller here, with my guests, Bridget Mouchon, family living agent with UW Extension, Cooperative Extension in Greene County, and Myrna Scherer, who is an emeritus professor at Drexel University in Philadelphia, developed the Raising a Thinking Child program for parents of young children. Her most recent book is Thinking Parent, Thinking Child. Join in with your questions or comments or your experiences. We'd love to hear them at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hope you'll stay with us. Coming up at 11:45, Rick Cini of FairCompare.com joins us to talk about planning for a midwinter getaway. But right now we're learning about a really innovative parenting program that's being offered in Wisconsin and elsewhere with our two guests, Bridget Mouchon, family living agent with UW Co-op Extension in Greene County, and Myrna Scherer, who developed the Raising a Thinking Child program for parents and of young children. And, you know, as I think about this, a lot of this could work for older than 7 years old, too. Myrna?
Yeah. We actually have developed this approach and done research with children up to age 12, and it's been adapted for middle school up to age 14. I can tell you a very cute little anecdote with a 10-year-old. He was bullied. He was called Bacon because he was fat. And his mother kept saying, you know, well, just ignore him or tell the teacher or walk away. And the more she told him what to do, the more he kept getting called Bacon. And after about 6 weeks of the program, a boy goes, "Hi, Bacon, Bacon," and he looks at him, and he paused, and he said, "Yeah, and I sizzle, I sizzle."
Ah.
And, you know, had the mother told him to tell him he sizzled, it wouldn't have had the same impact. And they never called him Bacon again because they were so taken aback. You know, they didn't see him as weak anymore.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it came from the child. It was his idea because he was in the groove of thinking, what can I do, what can I say, rather than just reacting.
Mm-hmm. Lynn in Eau Claire, thank you for calling. And what's on your mind?
Well, this sounds a lot to me like what the resiliency studies have shown, that children are born really knowing what to do, and they're thinking individuals. And I noticed you said that the bonding is so important with the caregiver or the parent. And what is bonding but honor and respect? And these are lifelong skills because we are respecting these children. And isn't that, as a Christian, I must say, isn't that what Jesus said we are to do, is let the little children come to me? And there's no yelling or spanking. I had no spanking with my children. They grew up to be very thinking individuals and have great positions now. And there's no rewards or punishments or stars or stickers or timeouts. It's logical thinking, and it's really bonding with honor and respect. So this is what our culture needs more of, because the children that don't have this are ending up in jails, and they are not having a strong self-esteem. And we really need to have the strong self-esteem, just like with the Bacon example. If we can turn that around and show power in an honorable way, I think our whole culture will learn from these children.
Mm.
Thank you so much for saying that, because a lot of people think, you know, don't you believe in discipline? I was spanked as a child, and I came out just fine. And my answer to that is, if discipline is guiding behavior, you know, then, and children can come up with solutions that have positive and not negative consequences, that's discipline. And, you know, children who are severely spanked end up, you know, becoming immune to it after a while, and now the parents lost control completely. And so you don't want that to happen.
Yeah. Lynn, you make some great points. Thank you so much for calling.
Yes, thank you for your good work.
I appreciate it very much. Nick in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Nick. Thank you for calling.
Hi, I've got two kids, a boy and a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And the old saying that, you know, the way you're going to get paid back in life is to have a kid that's just like you. Well, my daughter is a sweetheart, but my son is just horrible. And we're using the time on it. It seems to work, but he couldn't be more like me. He's just a stubborn pig-headed as I am. So it's
how old
rough.
Is he?
He's only three.
Three?
And the problem is my wife, she's very intelligent. Like, Hugh tested, she's around the genius mark. And so now the kids have got that. Like, my daughter's 4 years old, and she knows her math and reading and stuff already, so it's kind of hard because they're so advanced already. But it's just amazing the difference between the sexes. The girls, she's completely just a sweetheart, and the son is just, he's out to race as much crap as he's been.
So
I would really focus on feelings now with a 3-year-old. And you know what you can do? You can take hand puppets that you can buy in toy stores, the kind that, you know, you can put your hand in the head and open and close the mouth. Mm-hmm. And you can, you know, open it and shake the head for happy and squish it and push it down for sad. And then every time the child does something that makes you feel, you know, either happy or sad, take the puppet and say, how do you think, you know, Allie the alligator or whatever name you want to give him is feeling now? And then after a while, you can let him hold the puppet and make him look happy and sad. And that'll actively engage him in talking about feelings. And once he's really comfortable with feelings, and he becomes a little bit older, maybe, you know, 4 years old, he can come up with what he can do to turn sad into happy.
Can I ask one more quick question on this?
Sure.
He gets so mad, like his sister will do something, and he gets so mad he'll actually clench his like hands and teeth, and he's just like, "Rrr!" What do we do about that? Because at first it was kind of funny, but now it's not so funny because he gets so mad his face will actually turn red.
Yeah, Bridget, do you want to comment?
Well, I think that asking a question, right, then how does that make you feel when you're mm-hmm. how does that feel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, he may not answer because he's in the middle of a mm-hmm. severe emotion, but you can give him the choice, are you happy or mad? And then he just has to say that one word and give, you know, without telling him how he feels. Ask him, are you happy or mad?
And then what do you follow that up with?
Well, one thing that I tell parents when we're working on things like this is that when kids are in a really high-level emotional state, that is not an easy time to be doing any problem-solving right then. And to come back to it and talk about it. And a three-year-old, whether he's very, very intelligent or whatever, sometimes you need to do that within a short span of time after that emotion has dissipated because their memory isn't very long. So you need to do it somewhat quickly, but also recognize that right then is not a good time to be approaching things with serious problem-solving efforts. But come back to that and ask some questions. How did that make you feel? And what are some different things that you can do when you're feeling that way?
Yeah. All right. Great. Thank you, Nick, for calling. Good luck with that little guy. Appreciate your call. Jim in Wanakee, it's your turn. Hi, Jim. Thank you for calling.
Oh, hi. Thank you for this impressive program. I'm very impressed with your guest and what they have to offer to parents. And my question is a couple questions about we have a daughter who is a school psychologist in a middle school. And she may or may not, I don't know, already have access to this particular program that you're helping folks with. And so I was wondering about resources where we can get more information to pass mm-hmm. that along.
Sure.
And then the other question is, what about, we have grand twins who are like 3 years old. And I've really been impressed with some of the stuff that the preschooler teachers have been doing to, you know, the sociability, learning to share, and all this kind of stuff. Is it possible to implement this program at a lower level than age, I think you said age 7?
Oh, yes.
Is mm-hmm. it possible to adapt or, you know, help the parents start with this early, you know, in terms of
Bridget, how young do you go?
I go down to
four.
I go down to age four and in terms of targeting a child, but I have parents that come in that have a child who's 4 and then have a child who's 2 or 3, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. ideal because they're using it with that 4-year-old, but that 2 or 3-year-old is also hearing some of this.
Oh, what a segue. I got to tell an anecdote.
Yes, go ahead.
A 4-year-old was receiving the program from her parents. And the 2-year-old would be hearing, you know, the vocabulary, even though she only had a little bit of active language skills. And one day she bit her father. And her father, reacting, was about to send her up to her room and spank her. Mm-hmm. And the mother said, just a minute, let me ask her a question. And using the word different that we played with and had fun with, the mother said to the 2-year-old, can you think of a different way to show your father how you feel? And she was so stunned by that question that she looked at her father, paused, and gave him a big hug. And the father didn't know what hit him.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
What a different outcome from spanking her and sending her to her room.
Oh, absolutely. And here's Jim wanting to know about more resources, and that's Bridget, you're obviously doing work on this right here in Wisconsin.
It is. Yeah, it's a program that several of our extension colleagues have been trained in, and you can find out more about the program and where it's being offered, and maybe help get this program expanded into other counties too. But you can give me a call actually at my office, because I'm one of the chairs of this work group in the state. My number is 608-328-9517. And that my name is Bridget Mouchon, so I'm one of those chairs of this work group.
So it's 608-328-9517. Do we have, I think we have this up on my Facebook page. There must be, we may have a link of some sort on my Facebook page.
I'd also, if I could mention, we have a program for a curriculum for schools, mm-hmm. For teachers to do with their classrooms, starting with preschool up to and including grade 6. And if I can give my website.
Absolutely.
www.thinkingchild.com. And on the homepage, you'll see covers of a curriculum called I Can Problem Solve. And you can just click on for more information, and people can email me, too, if they want information. And we do provide on-site training for schools.
So, Jim, there's a lot of help out there, and I hope you'll take advantage of it, or at least share it with your daughter, because I'm sure it's something she's going to be interested in. Thank you for that call. Darcy in Stevens Point, your turn. Hi, Darcy. Thanks. What's on your mind?
I have a question about responding to a child. First of all, I should say I have a 2, 3, and a 4-year-old. So my
You're
house
busy.
Is chaotic on even the best days, but not too bad. But how do I respond when one of the older two children will say, in the heat of the battle, I am mad at you, I don't like you, you know, that kind of response. I usually just ignore it, or if I do respond, they say, well, but I still love you, you know, and just kind of go on with what we're doing. Is there any damage in letting those kind of things go? Because, well, I mean, they're kids and they're mad, and that's how they express it. I don't know. There's also, it seems like, a school of thought where, you know, oh, you can't let, you know, that kind of bond-destroying kind of statement sort of sit. I don't know how to, I'm mm-hmm. not sure. That's, I guess, why I'm calling to ask.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Myrna, what do you think?
Well, you can start with, how do you think your sister, or is it a sister or a brother?
I have a... Both. A girl who's 4, a boy is 3, and a girl who's 2.
And the boy says to the girl, I don't like you, I hate you, or...
Oh, no. Not to each other. They're pretty loving. But, you know, if it's a discipline situation, or if it's a timeout, you need to sit in the chair for just a little while.
Oh, they'll say that to you.
I don't like you, and the look, and the, you know,
a typical response to timeout, and that's why we put timeout on the lowest level of discipline, because all it does is separate the child from the problem and the person he's having the problem with. And if he's thinking at all, it's how to get revenge of the little brat
right.
got him in trouble. And to say things like that is, you know, just he feels free to express his feelings. And I wouldn't use timeout to begin with. I would just say, mm-hmm. can you think of a different way to solve this problem? But when he's talking like that, you can say something like, how do you think mommy feels when you talk like that? And they might say, you know, mad, but good. I want you to be, you know. And of course, you just don't make a big deal of that and say, can you think of a different way to tell me how you feel?
Mm-hmm.
And it's more effective if you play games with the word different, so it's a fun word. You know, like romping around the living room, talking about things that are the same and different in the house.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when they hear that word different in the question, it rings a fun bell. You know, can you think of a different way to tell me how you feel?
Yeah.
And, you know, they're really taken aback by those questions, and they're stunned. And it has a very different effect than yelling at them or ignoring them.
So there you go, Darce.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, give it a shot. See what happens. And you might go Actually, again, she's in Stevens Point. Is there a program going on in the Stevens Point area that you know of, Bridget? Of any training programs or?
I believe that our colleague there isn't using it currently, but we do have other programs that are in neighboring counties. So, yeah.
Okay, so there'd be some possibilities. If you go online to UW Extension Family Living, is what
that's right. Yes. And we've got a website. It's an FYI website, and I know that it is. I'm going to have to, if they go to your Facebook page,
yeah,
can they?
Yeah, we've got it up on the Facebook page,
okay.
I believe. So if people want to go to that, and you can find out where programs are being offered in your area of the state. So we certainly love to have people sign up or at least look into getting involved with these programs. Faye and Nina, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I just have a little idea that I had when my kids were very young. They're teenagers now. But to make them kind of more accountable for how they treat each other, and it's kind of good timing being it's right after Christmas now because that's when we would start it. My grandfather had made this little simple little make, like, bed for like a baby Jesus. We put a baby doll in it. And all year long, if we found them being random acts of kindness to each other or just going out of their way to be helpful to each other, something we would, I had all these strips of yellow construction paper and we would write what they did on the construction paper. And by the end of the year, we would have all these little pieces of yellow construction paper like straw for a bed for baby Jesus. And it really seemed to make them kind of think about their actions. Oh, do I get to put my little thing on a piece of paper? You know, they were pretty proud by the end of the year if they had a nice little bed for baby Jesus.
Oh. Well, that's a very creative way of empowering the child.
Mm-hmm.
You're making him active instead of passive, and that's great.
Yeah, that was a wonderful idea. You used your noggin there, Faye. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
appreciate that very much. We had an email from Gina in Madison. They have a 4-year-old son who's quick to react to negative experiences. You know, like he is not getting his way, whines. That often leads to crying and you know, you lose emotional control. Trying to teach him ways to calm himself down so he can deal with the original feeling or problem at hand. They've tried deep breathing, counting, reading a book, going to room to relax. And distraction, he'll often respond that he can't do it because he's so upset or that he wants help, at which time we will remind him of the tactics listed above as we want him to be able to do it himself. I'm really struggling. So, Myrna?
Well, see, there sometimes, as Bridget said, in the heat of emotion, it may not be effective. What I did once with a 4-year-old who was really screaming because another child wouldn't share clay, and she was upset because I always share with him and he's not sharing with me, and she just couldn't even think at the moment. And she was a very good problem solver, too. And I just put her on my lap and I just hugged her and didn't say a word and let her know I was there and caring about her feelings. And then when she calmed down, I'd say, you know, I bet if you think real hard, you can think of a way to get him to let you play with some of that clay. And then she came up with solutions. Just give me a little bit, and we'll play together, she said. And the boy said, okay, and that was the end of that. So, sometimes, you know, it's just, it's not complicated as the ad says on TV.
this has been great. I'm really pleased that we've had such good positive results. So tell us a bit more, Bridget, about what has gone on here in Wisconsin.
Well, we've had several trainings over the years where our extension colleagues have been trained in providing this class in their local communities, and a few others have also been trained and have held classes. And so basically we've got a number of us out there working on bringing these classes to our communities, and oftentimes we work with schools or child care centers and engage parents in parent education classes using Myrna's program. And Myrna has been wonderful in getting us off the ground and helping us continue this program in Wisconsin. It's a wonderful program, and we get such great responses from parents. It really makes a difference.
Yeah, the evaluations of the program have been quite positive, haven't they?
Yes. Parents see changes. And one of the things that I want to point out is that, we're just starting to look at six-month follow-up information, but a lot of programs you don't see people doing the things that they started out doing. Mm-hmm. When they finished a program, yes, I'm doing that. But 6 months later, we're seeing parents that are still engaging in these behaviors with their kids, and the relationships that they have with their kids have grown, and we're seeing a lot of really the same things that they were doing, they're continuing to do those things, and the kids are much different.
Well, once you learn the approach, I mean, I think it's something that would be just as easy to use on a regular basis as the other.
Well, parents say to me, you know, at first it's difficult. It's a whole new way of talking to kids. It's asking instead of telling. To put it in the simplest terms. And then they say the way the kids respond, it makes them want to continue asking, and pretty soon it becomes second nature, and they wonder how they talk to their kids any other way.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I've heard that from many parents who have said something similar to that.
Well, I really want to thank you both for taking, and you know, Myrna, I'm thinking back, you and I talked many a year, we were both younger.
Considerably.
Well, it is good to hear.
I was really excited that I was going to be on with you again because it was a great, great conversation we had then.
Yeah, well, we had a great conversation again, and I want to thank you so much. And thanks for all the great work you've done over the years and working with children and promoting this. And certainly it looks like we're going to be right to the pedal to the metal here on working in Wisconsin with our parents, families, and children.
That's
yeah,
right.
Well, we hope we have a lot of new little problem solvers.
And again, Bridget, people to get a hold, to learn more, they can go to the UW Family Living Extension website.
That's right.
Go to my Facebook page. You can get a link there.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. Bridget Mouchon. Her phone number, by the way, is 608-328-9517, 608-328-9517. We didn't post that, but that's the number if you want to ask her specifically about the program, maybe in your area. She is a family living agent from Greene County, and she's worked with parents and done research on parenting since 1998. And Myrna Schur, emeritus professor at Drexel University in Philadelphia. She's developed the Raising a Thinking Child program for parents of young children. And we've got a link to her website as well on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. You can get it right there. That was really interesting to me, an interesting conversation, and probably I hope to you as well. It's always great to learn more about those basic human responsibilities like raising thoughtful and responsible children. Coming up next, we're going to switch gears and talk about raising yourself up in a plane and getting yourself perhaps out of Wisconsin. Rick Seney of FairCompare.com with us and some great advice for planning a midwinter getaway and a whole lot more. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.